What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
B&E on a Thursday, one of the best days of the sports year. Each and every year, the madness of March begins at 11:15 this morning. Get your brackets in. Also coming up in our coach's corner, we'll talk about the Longhorns and their game plan to beat Colgate today. The Raiders out of the Patriot League. Matchups and keys for the Horns for Rodney Terry. Also, Aaron Rodgers does say he found clarity in the dark, found clarity in his darkness retreat. And that he intends to play this season. Several people on the text line appreciate it. Said that there is a Z Tejas location opening up in Kyle, which is true. You know, Kyle, south of Buta there, is blowing up for the restaurant industry. There's a lot coming in down there, man, including, yeah, we mentioned the Z Tejas on 6th Street is closing. Been open since 1989. That's going to close its doors. But, yeah, they're opening a new location down there where all the growth is. Ton of new stuff coming out that way, which is pretty cool. And speaking about that way, this afternoon, our afternoon show, Ball Don't Lie, are going to be at Twin Peaks in Round Rock. But I'm going to be hanging out a little bit this afternoon, Buck, down at Mudbugs in Buta, because our friends down the hall at Coke FM, Eric Raines and the team, are going to be out there at Mudbugs this afternoon from 3 to 6, I believe. And it's the third birthday of Mudbugs, the Cajun joint.
Happy birthday.
In Buta.
What's the TV situation out there at Mudbugs?
They have two in the bar area. It's not a sports bar, but there's also a place next to Mudbugs called Nate's that they've got TV. So, yeah, you can watch some games right there. And there's a place called Buta Mill and Grain right there at the end of Main Street in downtown Buta where Mudbugs sits, and there's several little cool stores.
And how many games at once are there, Max, today? I forget. Was it two,
three? The crossover, well, they stagger them pretty good. And obviously you can find them on different networks, and you've got to have your TV guide ready. But the first game's at 11:15. The second game won't tip off until 11:40. Then there's a 12:40 and a 1. So essentially, you can kind of flip back and forth. The 11 a.m. game is on the main CBS. The 11:40 game tips off on True TV. 12:40, it's on TNT. And then the 1 o'clock game is at TBS. I mean, you see how that works, right? I mean, there's always a game on, and then you'll see the finish of the West Virginia game, and you can see the finish of the Furman game with Virginia, then Utah State, Missouri, Kansas, and Howard, whether that'll be a game or not. When it's late, it's a 1:16. Then 1:45 and 2:10. Just games all day, 3:10, 3:30.
All day long.
5:10, 6:10, 6:25 are the Longhorns. All day. And your channels don't change. It's TNT, CBS, TBS, and True TV. Those are your four options. And if you're like me, Buck, and you're at home and you have DirecTV, I've got that channel 205. Which is like it'll do all of them,
all the boxes.
Yeah, you'll have all the boxes of the four games, which is pretty cool. So you can kind of flip through it and keep an eye on all of them. But yes, there's not a lot of crossover. I mean, there'll be a time where all are going, but they'll be in different stages of the ball game. But Mudbugs has a couple, Nate's has some TVs, but neither of those would be called like sports bars. That's one thing the little town of Buta does not have is a sports bar where you can just TVs everywhere,
plop it
watching
down.
Games. Yeah. But one day there'll be one for sure. But Kyle's getting the Z Tejas, Buck.
That's sweet.
And I think in Kyle, if you between Buta and Kyle off 35, there's a big new complex going. There's like a movie theater, Evo, and there's a bunch of stuff. And remember, Drew Brees is a part of a group called Walk-Ons. You ever been to a Walk-Ons there? They're popular in New Orleans and through Louisiana and the South. There's one of those coming in down there, which is a nice sports bar. Obviously, Pluckers has got a new location coming online in South Park Meadows if you live south, but that won't be here for a little while. I know the restaurant game. But a lot to do, a lot of basketball, a lot of football talk. Let's get to your headlines. How about we hit the top stories that you got to know what's going on as you get up and out on a Thursday. UBO Business Services. We'll start over at the Dish last night. Longhorn baseball team made it 7 straight. They finished off a midweek sweep of North Dakota State, 7-4 the final. Eric Kennedy, 3-for-5. He had his first two home runs of the year. Dylan Campbell also hit his first long ball. Longhorns extend their win streak to 7 games. They've all come on this 14-game homestand that will continue this weekend when they host the University of New Orleans for 3 games. We'll preview that series coming up with David Pierce about 8:30 this morning. College basketball, field of 64 is set. after the final two play-in games last night, or the first four games. Fairleigh Dickinson beat Texas Southern pretty easily. They roll in. They're going to be the 16 seed now in the East and play Purdue. Arizona State won the game over Nevada. They're going to be the 11th seed out West. Big Dance does tip off at 11:15 this morning. Longhorns, of course, a part of the full day of 16 games today. That's at 6:25 tonight. Our extended pregame coverage goes live here on the Horn at 5:30 today. Big day in the NFL, opening of the league's new year, and the Zeke Elliott era has ended in Dallas as the Cowboys have released the running back after seven seasons. 27 years old, he won two rushing titles. He will be designated as a post-June 1 release, which will save the team nearly $11 million towards their salary cap this season, which was a must, according to team owner Jerry Jones in a statement. Says the release of the third all-time leading rusher in franchise history was difficult but necessary. The cap flexibility also says it will allow Zeke to experience free agency. Also yesterday, the Aaron Rodgers saga took another turn. The four-time MVP appeared on the Pat McAfee show and confirmed that he is indeed planning to play this season and intends to play for the New York Jets, but does any delays in making the move are because the Packers are digging their heels in on trade compensation, and they haven't worked out a deal yet. In Philadelphia, the defending champion Eagles are keeping a pair of their defensive cornerstones. Official word that Fletcher Cox, their defensive tackle, has agreed to a one-year deal. Also, Pro Bowl corner Darius Slay is going to remain with the team. They had given him permission to seek a trade, now word late last night that he's coming back. In Kansas City, defending Super Bowl champs are losing a pair of key cogs. How about the Cincinnati Bengals? They've reached a new deal with offensive tackle Orlando Brown Jr., four-year, $60-some million deal. Wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster has agreed to a three-year deal in New England. World Baseball Classic last night, clutch performance by Team USA. They took down Team Colombia 3-2 to secure a berth in the WBC quarterfinals. Mike Trout had three hits, drove in all three runs. They're going to now face Venezuela on Saturday in the quarterfinals. And a terrible scene last night at the World Baseball Classic. Star New York Mets closer Edwin Diaz suffered what appears to be a fairly serious right knee injury. Happened during the team's on-field celebration after they eliminated the pre-tournament favorites, the Dominican Republic. He's going to undergo an MRI today.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Buck, the Aaron Rodgers news. So how about this? He told Pat McAfee yesterday, that when he went into his darkness retreat, he was 90% leaning towards retiring, 10% towards playing. When he came out of the dark, his feelings changed.
Duke could tell you anything about being in the dark, and you'd have to say, yeah, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
He also tried to put the onus on the Packers here because he said when he went into the retreat for 5 days, he wasn't on his phone for 5 days. Like, he didn't even look at it. And when he was going in, he just said he was 90% towards retiring, and he said the Packers had told him, hey, we want you to retire a Packer. We want you to be here if you want to be here. And then he's got the sense when he came out, because he started checking his phone and he had all these messages, and he started to feel like the Packers didn't want him anymore.
He was slamming them yesterday. He was loving on them. Loving on the fans, loving on the Packers, and all they did for him, but he slammed them in the end.
Well, he says he'd already be a Jet if they could work out the deal.
Yeah,
but
well, guess what? They're going to work out the deal that suits them.
You know, they should. They right. should, because they believe Jordan Love is the future, and he's their quarterback, and we'll see. They drafted him. They traded up to draft him 3 years ago,
And the Jets need him now. They don't have any place else to turn. Have nobody else to turn to.
Well, and they've hired his former offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. They've hired
their buds.
Signed Alan Lazard. Because, look, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're 39, you don't want to roll into the New York and learn a brand-new offense. Everybody else can learn the new offense, and you'll already know it because you played for Nathaniel Hackett for three seasons in Green Bay, and you can help teach the rest of the team. But, you know, it's going to happen. It was just 1 year ago.
And Garrett Wilson, he is a great player. He's just about to become a real special player.
Well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers can still fling it, man. He can throw the rock, and they've got pieces to throw it to. But, you know, it's going to be about the chemistry and the – because the question becomes, is this going to be like Matt Stafford or Tom Brady, or is this going to be like Russell Wilson? I mean, which example have we seen of recent vintage of a elite quarterback moving teams? And, you know, Matt Stafford was the missing piece to the Rams to go win a Super Bowl. Tom Brady brought some of his guys and the collection of what Tampa already had, and they went and won the Super Bowl.
I just don't think Green Bay was not a top 10 defense, were they? I mean, the Jets are. The Jets are a top 10 defense.
Well, if you remember last year at Lambeau Field, the Jets beat the daylights out of the Packers in a regular season game. I mean, beat them bad. That was one of the worst games Aaron Rodgers played last year, was against the Jets defense. So he saw them up close in Lambeau Field. But, yeah, we all thought the Russell Wilson thing was, oh, man, they're really top five defense, really good team. This is going to be good. And obviously it turned out to not be good at all. And it was mostly because of Russell Wilson's attitude and a first year at, because that's the other part. When you went, when Matt Stafford went to the Rams, whether he's a young coach or not, Sean McVay was an established coach. He was the leader of that team.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arians was in charge in Tampa. You know, I think part of last year with Russell Wilson was Nathaniel Hackett was the first year head coach and was kind of flimsy with the leadership, and Russell Wilson kind of took advantage of that, and it never worked in the locker room. Obviously, the offense was bad. The offensive line had some injuries last year. The running back position in Denver had injuries, and it just was a terrible season. Certainly not the season anybody expected. The Jets, I mean, I think it's fair to say it could go either way. Robert Saleh is a young coach. He's the defensive guy. Nathaniel Hackett has been brought in. Look, this has all been in the works.
Yeah, Robert Saleh is just going to just coach his ass off with that defense.
Yeah. And, you know, he's a Kyle Shanahan disciple. And,
yeah.
And what does that become? You could see it going either way, but it's really going to be about how predicated on
I know
it.
How it's going to go at the end of the year. There's going to be a whole mess of problems. If they're not in a Super Bowl, if they just barely make a playoff or they get run out of a playoff, I know what the end game is for this. There's drama to be had at the end of this football season with the Jets.
With Aaron Rodgers, drama.
I want it. I want all of it.
I'm in for
but
it.
But what I want is the every week drama with the New York media.
Well, you know
with
who
Aaron Rodgers.
Well, look, it's New York. You know who else wants this? TV networks. They're going to put the Jets on TV a lot.
And Woody wants this.
Their matchups with the Josh Allen and the Bills twice
this
year.
Oh, my goodness. Anything to do with the Patriots?
Patriots, of course, with Bill Belichick twice this year in that division. I mean, those will be marquee TV games without a doubt. But you know what? Guess what we got a lot of last year? Russell Wilson in primetime, and it was awful. How many Denver games did we have to live through that were just terrible TV? Because it was a bad team, and he was a bad quarterback. I don't see Aaron Rodgers regressing to the Russell Wilson level of what we saw this year, but because he can still...
Well, Russell Wilson had some weapons at wide receiver. They didn't even use the one guy. Well, Sutton, he never even got hardly ever threw that dude.
Right, and you know, it became pretty clear last year that Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks did a good job of making up for some of his deficiencies in Seattle. They just didn't say anything about it, and they were the winners in that deal. You know, there are a lot of people that believe Aaron Rodgers was what made up for deficiencies in Green Bay, because a lot of people think Green Bay is going to be the team that collapses with Jordan Love as their quarterback.
Oh, I believe so.
And that Aaron Rodgers was the one kind of propping that thing up. But we'll see.
Aaron Rodgers,
that's why we'll all tune
offensively
in.
Offensively, will just be just fine. I mean, Garrett Wilson, and he's bringing his boys. Don't think for one second that all these that he doesn't have demands on who he needs to bring to this team. I mean, he'll say it like he did yesterday. He goes, I don't have all those guys.
He says
I would bring.
These guys he would like to play with if they want to bring him in.
If they want to play with me again.
If they want to get him. I like this Alan Lazard guy. Big fan of Randall Cobb.
My God, come on, Randall. Grab
Big
my bags and come on over
Lewis.
Here. Mercedes Lewis? He doesn't really want to do that, does he?
Well, bringing in all the guys. I mean, when's the last time Aaron Rodgers went to a Super Bowl? 12 years ago? I mean, Tom Brady brought his guys to Tampa because those guys knew how to win.
Yeah, but Tom Brady also, there was a defense sitting in Tampa just awaiting.
Well, the Jets have a D.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I don't think they're headed to the Super Bowl. I'd love it, and I'd hate it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It'll get done, but again, it's about contracts. It's about draft.
What's the compensation going to be for this guy? I mean, they're not getting two first rounds.
Well, why wouldn't they?
I'd ask for it.
It's what you got for Russell Wilson. It's what you got for Matt Stafford.
You don't have to trade him. I mean, they could just wait and be like, if the Jets don't want to meet their demands, be like, okay, well, good luck finding another quarterback.
Oh, they don't have it. There's none available
now.
Well,
the Jets don't have any leverage in
this.
Yeah,
they got nothing
exactly,
now.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Jets have nothing.
The Packers can wait.
The Packers can wait. That's why this is dragging. It's day one of the league's year, for crying out loud. But, yeah, I mean, I think the leverage all belongs to the Packers, isn't this? And all they're going to say is, look what Denver gave up to get Russell Wilson. Look what the Rams gave up to get Matt Stafford. We're not giving up Aaron. Yes, he's older, so we'll consider his age at 39. But, you know, he won back-to-back MVPs at 37 and 38. Give me a break. Pay the piper. This is what the going rate is for a franchise quarterback. You want him. Well, but I really believe I think they know what they'll give up to get him as far as draft picks go and draft capital. But what they don't. It's about the money. How much is – because remember when Matt Stafford was traded, the Lions were willing to take Jared Goff's big contract, which helped the salary cap with the Rams to allow it. You know, the Jets are going to need the Packers to absorb some of that money, and that's part of it. It's a negotiation about picks, but also the contract.
Where there is drama, this is the Joe Namath. You're bringing back another Joe Namath here. They haven't had a quarterback since Joe Namath.
Hey, and Ken O'Brien, come on, man.
Who?
Kenny O'Brien, Chad Pennington.
Mark Sanchez.
Give me some Mark Sanchez.
No.
Give me a little Brett Favre.
Back to 1969 with this guy coming to New York. This is good stuff for the Jets. Woody loves this. I mean, that's all he wants. He loves the drama. Wants to out-drama the Giants. That's what will be important to him.
The thing about the Giants is they don't really want drama. They're going to be on the front page regardless because of the Giants, but that's what the Odell Beckham Jr. thing didn't. They don't want the drama. They want winning. The Jets, yeah, they'll probably take a little drama. Let's get to your Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com online.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
Yeah, remember, the winner of our bracket contest, when you're getting your Horn Bracket Challenge picks in by 11 o'clock today, still have a little under 3 hours to get those picks in, or 4 hours, I should say. Go ahead and make those picks. The winner is part of the package. We'll win that 55-inch LG flat-screen TV from Tom McKay and the team at AV Consultations. All right, Buck, Longhorns, 625 today. Look, it's a... Longhorns are a two-touchdown favorite for a reason, right? You don't take any team lightly in this situation. But brass tacks, the Longhorns are the better team.
Yes.
The Longhorns, you know, when you look, we just heard Ari Temkin last hour referring to KenPom, right? The Ken Pomeroy rankings, which are the deep dive analytic rankings of teams. And it's a whole body of work for the season. Right now, the Longhorns are the sixth overall ranked team in the KenPom rankings. Colgate is 114th versus 6th, right? And they're coming out of the Patriot League. And the thing you love about Texas and their ability to make a run here is that the Longhorns are top 10 in KenPom's offensive and defensive efficiency. You're top 20, I should say, in adjusted offensive efficiency and adjusted defensive efficiency. They're 18th in offense. They're 11th on defense. If you look at Colgate, they're 44th in adjusted offense, which is points per possession kind of analytic. Defensively, though, they're 231, and that's even in the Patriot League, Buck. So if you're Texas, this just goes back to my number. When Texas holds teams 72 points or lower, they are 25-0 this year. If the defense comes to play like it did in the Big 12 tournament, the defensive intensity is there, Longhorns are going to be fine because they're going to score against this team.
Right, and this team is going to have to defend them. The problem is they're going to have to defend the Longhorns and the Longhorn guards.
That's correct.
Those guys have not defended guards like this.
And then that's, when you're a coach, you're trying to look for, okay, here's where we can attack them. Texas is a top 20 team in offense and top 20 team in defense. They're almost top 10 in defense. So the Longhorns can bring it on both ends. Colgate has to beat you offensively. They're not going to play any
defense.
Yeah,
they got to be hot at the three-point line, and you have to look and say, okay, go shoot, and they make all their shots.
They're 231st in adjusted defense, so that's bad. And that's even in the Patriot League against Patriot League competition. Texas will get points in this game.
Yeah, if you D them up, they have to play you defensively too.
That's right, and that's where if Texas plays the Big 12 tournament to beat TCU and Oak State and Kansas, they held those opponents to an average of 57 points. You put the clamps on this group, you'll run away with this game. This game won't be in doubt late because you're going to score. Texas too deep, too good. The other thing about Colgate, though, is if they do get hot, they're the best three-point shooting team in the country.
Well, they get a run on you.
And they're deep. Then they're veteran. I mean, the same things you can say about Texas. I know their coach is Coach Langell is one of the best in the Patriot League, one of the best out there. He coaches them up. They've got 8 or 9 deep. They've got veteran players. Their player of the year is a senior, kind of like Texas has all the age and experience. And the one thing you know about Colgate is they are not going to be afraid of the moment. They've been in this tournament, 3 straight years. They understand what this moment's about. Longhorns, though, again, better team. Number 6 in KenPom versus, 114. This should be a double-digit win for
the Longhorns. Yeah, I just like the fact that the Horns will – I think they'll run out. They won't let guys – open threes, because if they do that, they'll hit them.
Yeah,
they'll make their threes. But if those guys aren't in a big streak, and they hit them every once in a while, then they got to go play defense against the Longhorn guards, and that's going to take a lot of energy for Colgate kids.
Well, one of the things we know about the Big 12 is, you know, not all the teams were elite, but they're all great on defense, right? They're all, I mean, what are the stats we had through the year in the KenPom rankings? Like, every team in the Big 12 was top 50 in adjusted defense.
Well, again, Texas is a physical offensive team, too.
Right. Well, now you're playing a team that's 112th. And this is where we talk about these Big 12 teams getting out of the rigors of the Big 12 to play a team that isn't that athletic and isn't great on D. You know, Texas, I don't see Texas going into one of these long scoring slumps that we've seen them get into sometimes this year against this group. They're going to get their points. If they play their defense and bring their intensity, they'll be fine. Obviously, those scoring slumps down the road in this tournament, they win this game and get to A&M. Now, A&M can play some defense, right? I mean, A&M can bring it with Buzz Williams, but, you know, you got to get there first. A&M will play Penn State tonight after Texas. That's the 8:55 game this evening, so you're going to have to stay up late to see the Aggies play the Nittany Lions. And as we said, all four of these teams are really, really red hot coming into this tournament.
Yeah, I got to see what this staff decides to do with the lineups. I mean,
that'll be something we'll all be looking for.
I think that'll be – that's
going to be – Is it Timmy Allen in the starting lineup back to his normal spot, or
– I just think they do.
Well, look, here's what
I want to find out. I want to find out about him early. You know what I mean?
Well,
I want to find
I
out if
you know
his body.
About his health. I think what I'm worried about is the three guard lineup was, you know, with Dylan Dessou and Dylan Mitchell as your starting lineup with the three guards was so effective in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
It's also you want your best perimeter defenders on the floor when you're playing a team that shoots the three ball like they do and will shoot that many. You know, there's no question that with the three guards, that's a better perimeter defense. And Dylan Mitchell and Dylan Dessou, that's a better perimeter defense than Timmy Allen, right? So to start the game, what you don't want is this team to get hot early.
How good is that? They're big man, because the 6'10", that's the one that worries me, because while you're paying attention to all the guys shooting threes, you get your other guys in foul trouble with this big dude.
Well, that foul trouble is always a factor, right, in these games. But he's all right. He's 6'10". I mean, he can make some things happen. And he's a good passer. I mean, they kind of use him as kind of a point center a lot of times.
And getting it back out to the threes.
Yeah, they kick it in, try to draw some coverage. And
they can't shoot free throws.
Man, that's the other thing. They're not a good free throw shooting team, which is weird. To be as good a shooting
really
team
weird.
As they are, they are not great from the foul line, which advantage. I like Texas.
They've got some coaches' sons.
I'll just say this. I like Texas to cover this number. What's the current number, Ty? Mr. Professional game.
It was 14 still last time I looked.
I like Texas to cover that, 15 or more.
Even though they're 1-11 in their last.
Yes, this is a different Texas
against
team.
Against the spread?
No, I like Texas.
It is a group that's run off and beat Kansas by 20.
So how much did they win by then? 20?
15 plus. That's all you need, cover the number.
We're just trying to cover the number here.
It's 13 now.
Okay. Uh-oh, that's even better.
Even better. Who do we like in the Texas A&M game? Against Penn State, you got Hoofy and all your buddies back east that love Penn State. Are they excited?
If they don't shoot, if they will continue to shoot threes, and then they'll pretend like they're going to the hoop. Don't worry about them going to the hoop. They want to shoot threes all night, so just defend them. If they're hot, it's like I said, it's that mindset that you get into when you're a defender. If you say, "Oh, he's not going to make this three, so I don't need to run out on him," and they make the first or second one, that's when it gets to be tough for you. Penn State gets hot and shooting the threes, that's a problem for A&M. But if you can make them go kind of scattery, they hit one three and then they miss five more, that's what you're looking for.
Well, they're the classic team. I mean, we just about talked about Colgate. Colgate's won 20 of their last 21 games, so they're playing great basketball. Penn State's won 8 of 10, 8 of their last 10. They, you know, 10 games ago, they didn't look like a tournament team.
No.
But they've gotten hot. They made it all the way to the conference championship game of the Big Ten and lost to Purdue in a close game. But Texas A&M is also equally hot. They're 19-4 in their last 23, and they play really good defense. They're kind of the same. I mean, A&M will D up Penn State. Can Penn State D up A&M?
That's
becomes
the
question.
That's right.
I think both games could go, because I don't think A&M should be a 7 seed. We said that all week, said that since Sunday. I think they got underseeded. I think they take advantage of that tonight. I like the Aggies, and I like the Longhorns. I think we're going to get that matchup coming up on Saturday. That tip time has not been announced yet, though. But if they both win, you know CBS is going to try to put that bad boy
In
the primetime spot on Saturday from Des Moines, Iowa. We'll come back. We'll pick up your brackets and conversation, the Aaron Rodgers story, and the end of an era. Zeke Elliott cut in Dallas. Kind of knew it had to happen, but Jerry Jones said it was a difficult decision to make. We'll talk about it coming up on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Shaggy.
Are you really picking Shaka Smart and the Marquette Golden Warrior things to go to the Final Four? Are you picking them? You got them?
Going to the Final Four.
What are they called
the
now?
National
they,
championship.
They used to
the
be
Warriors.
The Warriors? What are they now? The
Golden Eagles, I think.
Golden Eagles. Had to change. Warriors was too...
Was that too violent?
Mean-spirited.
I think it's...
I mean, the Catholic school didn't like that. They changed now. They're the Golden... Come on now.
Well, the last time the Longhorns went to the Final Four, Marquette was in the Final Four that year, too, with a guy named Dwayne Wade.
He was pretty good.
He was pretty good. Pretty good. And, of course, there was another guy there at Syracuse named Carmelo Anthony.
He wasn't bad.
Both Marquette and Texas lost in the national semis. Dwayne Wade and company lost to Kansas. Texas lost to Syracuse, and Syracuse beat Kansas in the Natty in 03. We'll see, because a lot of people do like Marquette out of the Big East as the number two seed. Longhorns are number two seed in the Midwest. One of the best days of the year. So much fun, just to, as you heard Ari say last hour, and you start watching games at 11:15, and you just don't move. I mean, and you get to the end of these games, who's going to pull the upset? You start hearing, like if you're out and about watching games, you start hearing a buzz. Uh-oh, upset coming.
Some of this UConn stuff. Is Coach Calhoun, is he still cheating and still?
Oh, he's not the coach there.
Is he still there?
Come on, man.
Are you sure?
No, he's not there.
They won a national championship without him also, right? Who is the guy that they
Kevin
won?
Kevin Ollie.
Kevin Ollie won.
He's not there anymore.
No, I know he's not. But Kevin Ollie did win a championship, correct?
Coach. What's that?
Kevin Ollie did win a national championship.
He
okay.
Did. Dan Hurley is the coach there at UConn.
Hurley family?
Yeah, the Fighting Dan Hurleys.
No, Fighting Jerseys?
Great coaching family. A lot of people like UConn as far as the size goes, right? If their guards play good, they're tough inside. That's not many teams can go up front with them.
Marquette is not the Golden Chicks.
Golden Chicks. Golden
Come
Chicks.
On, y'all.
No, man, the tournament's so great, and we all know that, but you know what I love about the tournament? It's kind of like golf. It's like these guys that get on the golf course, they almost never play. They don't practice. And then when they play bad, they get all mad and start throwing things, right? You know what I mean?
They
like,
throw their clubs.
It's like, dude,
what are you throwing that club for?
What are you doing? You don't even play golf. And you're out here expecting to shoot 75? What's wrong with you? Just enjoy the day. The same thing with these brackets. People who don't watch basketball all year all of a sudden fill out their bracket, and then they get mad when the bracket doesn't work out. Like, oh, man. You know, you didn't even watch these teams. Like, it's people like Ari and my man T.Y. that, like, they exhaustively watch basketball through the year. I watch.
Sometimes that can be worse, though.
I know.
It's
paralysis by analysis.
Have no idea what you're picking.
But, at least the people who watch a lot and study a lot have a right to maybe be mad about an upset. If you don't even watch games and you're like, oh, man, that was my upset pick. I can't get too mad about it.
No.
Enjoy the day. Enjoy that. But it does suck. There's nothing like losing like a Final Four team on day one. Remember last year I had Kentucky?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They were gone immediately.
And they lost to the Peacocks. And I'm like, come on, John Calipari.
Well, don't mess with them again this year because they'll be out quick.
That's horrible. Yeah, well, if Kentucky.
I don't hear much talk of Gonzaga, the number one scoring team in America.
I've seen them in some Final Fours. Now, I watched Texas beat the daylights out of them at the Moody Center this year. But again, it's a different team now. Interested in that Gonzaga team. They do score. Drew Timmy still plays for them. That guy's
still on his 12th year?
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh, they can score.
They can score. And you're looking for the I don't know that we've ever had a year where there's been a bracket with this. There isn't a favorite, right? Alabama, I guess, is the favorite. But Alabama, if they have a cold shooting night, for Nate Oates, they'll be done. And as Ty said, sometimes Alabama just decides not to play defense in basketball games. They're vulnerable. Remember when Alabama played Oklahoma? The team OU?
On the road, yes.
Who didn't make the tournament, and they played at
last place
Norman,
team.
And they got blasted by 30 by Oklahoma in the Big 12 SEC Challenge deal. Yeah, I mean, if that's your number one seed, everybody's vulnerable. Everybody can be beaten. And it's really because the number one versus number 20 isn't all that different. I mean, Alabama's better, but number 20 can beat Alabama. There have been years where the number one team, come on, they're just so much better
than
everybody
else. Yeah, and I would have taken Purdue to go a little bit further if they didn't have a bunch of freshman guards. Because that big dude in the middle is a cut above. That guy's good.
He's a problem. And, you know, that's why you like Alabama. They got Brandon Miller. He's the best player in the country, arguably. Zach Edey's probably going to win Player of the Year from Purdue, the guy you're talking about. But, brackets get going 11:15 today. Longhorn 6:25. Get on out to Twin Peaks and give us your Final Fours, your upsets, and get your picks in at hornfm.com. This says, guys, Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show was asked and said, as a college player, I've had my eyes on Quinn Ewers. How about that? He said, he's an absolute stud and he will do amazing things at Texas. I'm honestly a huge fan of his game, and I'm very excited to see what he can do with Steve Sarkisian in year two. I expect a great season. I didn't see that part of the Pat McAfee interview. How about
it's
that?
Pretty good stuff.
A-Rod. Let's hope Quinn Ewers doesn't bring the Aaron Rodgers drama. But if he brings that arm talent, that ability to flip the football.
If he has that ability to stay in the pocket and have nice form throwing the ball.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers hasn't always had his great proper footwork, but he can fling it.
Well, this kid, they're not comparable in that way.
Well,
one guy's played for 1,000 years in the NFL. One guy's just kind of really learning the game at a certain level. So
sure, but he's got his eye on him. He likes him. Likes him at Texas. So we'll keep an eye on that situation. But you know, we were talking about the Jets have never had a franchise quarterback the likes of Aaron Rodgers. Now you could say Brett Favre, right? Remember when they brought Brett Favre in at the end of his career? This is very obviously similar paths. But the best Jets quarterback of all time is still Joe Namath. Is that true?
I believe so.
Kind of like the Jets and the Bears. I mean, neither franchise has ever had a great quarterback in all the time. And I was remember in the 83 draft where seven Hall of Famers were drafted in the first round of that draft, including John Elway at the top. The Jets that year, Buck, drafted Kenny O'Brien. He was a pretty good player, wasn't he? Out of Cal Davis. He was,
yeah.
Where does he rank in all-time Jets quarterbacks? Ken O'Brien. He was a good one.
He's in their top five.
Think so? I think so, yeah. I think that's right. And that kind of tells you where they are. Ken O'Brien's in the top five of their quarterbacks all time. Oh, man. But, yes, Ken O'Brien. That was the year that your guy John Makovic drafted Todd Blackledge.
Todd Blackledge out of Penn State.
You know, your boss, John Makovic, you know, if instead with the seventh pick in the draft as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, if they had taken, say, Jim Kelly or Dan Marino, he may still be coaching the Kansas City Chiefs.
Seattle Seahawks took Kurt Warner. That's when the guys, people were into the Penn State running backs.
Well, the top first two picks of that draft were Hall of Fame players, John Elway and Eric Dickerson, if you remember. And then, the Seahawks tried to draft the running back, Kurt Warner.
Oh, he was there for a while. I'm not
a good player.
Yeah,
not
a
Hall of Famer, but Pro Bowler.
Yes.
Pro Bowl player. Well, that was a great draft. And, you know, how things could be different, right? If John Makovic, Todd Belt Blackledge, the TV guy.
Yep. Yeah,
that was 1983. And, you know, the story, that's one of my favorite all-time 30 for 30 episodes with Marvin Demoff, the great agent, who was the agent for John Elway.
Oh, man.
Reading through his notes and telling the whole story of that 83 draft when John Elway didn't want to play for the Colts and ended up getting traded to Denver. Playing his baseball card. And what you learn in that 30 for 30 documentary, Buck, is that the Dallas Cowboys, with Tom Landry and Tex Schramm and all them, they nearly had the trade for John Elway. And as a matter of fact, they made a better offer to acquire John Elway than the Baltimore Colts did, or than the Denver Broncos did. But the owners were like hanging out and having drinks in Vegas or wherever they were, and the deal got done. You know, Tex Schramm and, Gil Brandt and all the Cowboys brass like, wait a second, we offered a better package to get Elway and you traded him to Denver? What are you doing? Think about that, how the world would have been different if John Elway had been a Cowboys quarterback in 1983.
Boy, that was unbelievable. How about Jim Kelly? Tony Eason and Dan Marino.
And now it looks like Aaron Rodgers, who's also going straight to the Hall of Fame. He was going to the New York Jets when they figure out compensation. We'll let you hear from Aaron Rodgers a little bit coming up. Also get some hot or not topics. We're taking your brackets and talking March Madness. Somebody said it's hard to call it an era when we talk about the Zeke Elliott era. Can we call it an era? You know, I think so in that, you know, Zeke and Dak Prescott were drafted in the same draft of 2016.
They're buds.
They're best buddies. Zeke was the fourth pick. Dak was the 135th pick.
I wanted the Cowboys to take Dak so bad too.
I will. You did. I remember that. You liked him.
I liked him.
And the Cowboys kind of lucked into him because they didn't like him that much. I mean, he was about their fifth or sixth choice at quarterback that year. That was the year that Jerry Jones. If we remember, you do the draft. We come in here and talk about it. Jerry Jones was upset that he didn't trade up to draft Paxton Lynch in that very draft.
That's right.
Remember that? The Broncos did it. And Jerry was like, man, I've always been a riverboat gambler, and I didn't do it. I'm mad at myself. And he didn't. That was in the immediate aftermath of the first round that he didn't go get Paxton Lynch, who's just failed at every level, right? Paxton Lynch was terrible in the NFL. Now he's a bad quarterback in the XFL.
He got
benched
his first start in the XFL.
But that's how the quarterback, you know, evaluations go. The Cowboys coveted Paxton Lynch. They didn't think a ton about Dak Prescott, and they drafted him with pick 135 in the fourth round, and he's turned into their franchise quarterback. And Zeke Elliott was drafted with the fourth pick to come in and really extend the career of Tony Romo, right? They had built that great offensive line. Romo,
they never really played together, did they?
He got hurt in training camp in preseason that year. Remember his back. Oh, his back.
Oh, I broke my back.
Spinal. Tony Romo went down. Dak Prescott became the quarterback, and the rest is history. But now I think you can call it an era. He's the third all-time leading rusher in the history of the franchise behind Emmitt Smith and Tony Dorsett. So he's third. And he you know, won two rushing titles. And there was a stretch there for 4 years where he was the best running back in football, one of the best players in football. Not anymore, though. Obviously, the big contract never lived up to that once he got his money. All right, we'll come back. Ty will lead us through the hot or not topics. We'll take your thoughts on all of those conversations as we roll through a Buck Off Thursday. Buck ons and Buck offs all morning long here on B&E.
Unfortunately, a crash blocking at least one lane of traffic northbound I-35 near 620 in the Round Rock area. So we have a backup toward Wells Branch Parkway there. Southbound back up to 1431 because of the usual volume and the folks looking over at the crash. Also, we're checking this wreck. Oh, good news here. Looks like westbound on Ben White headed towards South Congress. They've cleared that one. And the one reported northbound I-35 near Stassi has dropped off the board completely. Now, we do have crashes otherwise and elsewhere, like, for example, Twin Oaks at Burnett. That's an injury wreck. Also, Capital Texas Highway, Loop 360 southbound. This is going to be near Bee Caves. And Barton Creek at Bee Caves, a reported crash there, too. Again, some slick streets, and so that could be part of the problem here with these wrecks. I'm Don Miller, and that's traffic.
QC Kinetics, folks, it is relief. It's relief is what QC Kinetics is all about. For folks with chronic pain, old sports injuries, arthritis, inflammation in the knees, the hips, the back, the lower back, the shoulder, wherever that joint is, it's just a chronic situation for you. Talk to our friends at QC Kinetics and learn how they can get you through the pain, not mask the pain with pain pills and steroid injections and the conversations of surgery. Talk to them about the regenerative medicine and the treatments that they have that are so effective. So many great results that they're getting with people that are they're getting back to being their normal selves. They don't wake up every single day with that chronic pain. They can be active and get after it, then get out and play golf, exercise, hike and bike trails, things of that nature. They couldn't do them. Now they can, and it's because of QC Kinetics and that regenerative medicine. And all I ever encourage you to do is just call. Just be curious. Ask the questions at 593-4303. That's 512-593-4303. They'll get you into one of their two locations, Austin or Round Rock. And you know, you can ask, and they'll explain how it works and why it works with the regenerative medicine. Your own healthy blood cells, highly concentrated, and then injected into that area to affect the change and provide the relief that you're going for and seeking. They'll let you make a decision from there. But you'll have all the information at that point, and you can make the call. 512-593-4303. It's QC Kinetics.
What's hot? And what's not?
What's Hot, What's Not is brought to you by Texas Orthopedics, the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. Visit us at txortho.com to learn more and to schedule an appointment.
Hot Not, NFL free agency is hot. We'll get the very latest coming up top of the hour. All the headlines, including the Zeke Elliott release. The Cincinnati Bengals have signed a big free agent left tackle to protect Joe Burrow's backside. So the Philadelphia Eagles keeping a couple of defensive cornerstones. Also, seven straight wins for the Texas baseball team. Now they beat North Dakota State last night. We'll talk to David Pierce, and we will call him tomorrow today at 8:30. Talk baseball, preview the series this weekend. Can the Longhorns keep this streak going? On the not-hot side, if you saw it last night, well, hot was the Team USA and the World Baseball Classic. Big win for them. They beat Venezuela. No. They eliminated... They play Venezuela now, but Mike Trout had a big night, drove in all three runs as Team USA took down Team Colombia 3-2. They advanced, but a terrible scene with the, boy, cross your fingers for Mets closer Edwin Diaz. You know, he threw the final pitch, got the final out in what was a huge, pretty big upset. You know, they beat the Dominican Republic, Team Puerto Rico, beat the Dominican Republic, and going into the tournament, the DR was the favorite, right, with all the talent and all the players, and they beat them. They eliminated them 5-2, and so there's a celebration going on And his brother, who plays for the Cincinnati Reds, Edwin Diaz's brother, is the first to embrace him, and they start doing the jump up and down thing.
Well, I hope that's just a knee strain.
Next thing you know, everybody clears, and the closer's on the ground, and something happened to his right knee. Did he just land awkwardly, collapsed? I don't know, but they carted him off, and he'll be MRI'd today. I mean, that's the star closer for the Mets, and Mets have a high ceiling this year, I think, and just a bad scene. It's what you fear most about this World Baseball Classic is star players getting hurt. Same time, that was such a fluky play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's at the end of – it's celebrating. It's not even playing.
And play a futsy fluky thing.
How does this go on during spring training? Do these players just not go to spring training?
They went and then left. I mean, it essentially was built into the – remember, they did it – they try to do this every 4 years, much like the World Cup and in soccer. And, you know, they did it in the summer last time, if memory serves. But they can't – they got to pick a time to do it, and there's not a perfect time. And they're not going to stop the baseball season to have the World Baseball Classic in the middle of it.
And the majority of them want to play in it.
So, I mean, I guess this is of course you want to go play for your country. That's what it's about. I mean, it's a world game. It's a world sport. And, prideful playing for your country. But, you know, this kind of makes sense. You get yourself tuned up at spring training and then play the tournament and then go back and the season begins.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this was just a weird – I mean, game was over. Should have been in the shower, getting ready for the next round, and
instead of playing dog pile.
Well, I mean, that was a big upset. It wasn't like there was reason for celebration that you just took down the DR, the Dominican Republic, and eliminated them. He gets the final out, and everybody's excited. Just bad luck. One of those terrible, terrible injuries. Also, Ja Morant Buck suspended 8 games by the NBA for his brandishing of a gun in a nightclub. And, of course, he's retreated to Florida to seek some counseling and some help at a young age. He had a statement where he's taking responsibility. And let's hope he gets on the right path at 23 years old.
I think he will.
Young guy.
He stuck himself there. He said, you know what, I'm going down the wrong road.
He's lucky he only got 8 games. It's supposed to be an automatic 50-game suspension for any kind of firearm.
Yeah. And then there, we wonder if he'll play again this year. We'll see for the Memphis Grizzlies. This is his
I think it would have been different if he'd have brought that on the plane with him as at the organization. I think he got it at the club.
And he says it wasn't his gun at the club. He just had it in his hand. But
Haven't found out everything about that, which they will. Yeah, or they won't.
They investigated. But this is Diaz related to the Gramaticas. Oh, yeah. Remember Martin Gramatica when he blew his knee out, jumping up and down after making a kick? That can happen. T.Y., what do you have for us in Hot or Not, my friend?
Well, Jalen Carter had his pro day yesterday.
Oh.
You know, he's been involved in some unfortunate events lately. And he kind of showed up like one of those guys that had a little too much fun on spring break, 9 pounds overweight, looked extremely sloppy during drills. He had to stop. He didn't participate in like half of them because he was winded and like just said he couldn't do it.
Well, spring break action.
So
that's a bad look. Now, I mean, look, the accident, of course, the speeding and the 2 misdemeanors he was charged with and the accident, the wreck that killed 2 Georgia, well, of course, a staffer and his teammate, and those are going to be misdemeanors. I don't think that would have led to a big slide, but this will. Unfortunately, the way the NFL works, the fact that this was your job interview, you didn't work out at the combine, and then a few weeks later he's having his pro day at Georgia.
And he's slopping that. Wow.
Well, he was 10 pounds overweight. He was weighted in like 323, and then he didn't do any of the drills. Like, he didn't do any of the testing drills, and as Ty said, he did do some of the on-field stuff, and he didn't look great. I mean, that will lead to a slide. That'll be, hey, you weren't prepared.
Jerry?
Well,
give this guy a call.
Slide to Jerry.
I don't know. You got to do your due diligence on this now and figure out what's going on. But, that was a bad look for Jalen Carter, the Georgia defensive tackle, who many believe is the single most talented player in this draft. It's B&E on the Horn.